chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We have in this portion a very sad story, but it has a good ending. 2 Kings chapter 4. I want us to read some scriptures here, the first 7 verses. We want to use this as a backdrop as we go to the New Testament, and we'll read 3 portions of scripture in the New Testament as we seek to apply what we are reading and considering. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed or stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Note several things with me about this woman, her 2 sons, and the overall situation. Think of the emergency that this widow woman faced. The emergency that she faced. As we analyze this emergency, we consider there was death in the family. Her husband, a son of the prophets, had died. There was debt in the family. She cried to the man of God, Elisha, saying that the creditor is going to come to take my 2 sons. That was according to Jewish law. When a debt was owed and one could not pay that debt, in this case, the sons would be taken into servitude by the creditor for up to a period of 7 years. And so there was not only death in the family, there was debt in the family. And overall, there was desperation in the family. Our hearts go out to this woman. And so here the emergency is announced. She's crying to the man of God for help. He said, Now, what do you want me to do for you? And so she stated what her situation was. The emergency was announced fervently, frankly, and fully. So something of the emergency that she faced. Note in verse 2 the examination she underwent. The man of God said, Now, what do you want me to do for you? He is causing her to be specific. He's causing her to focus in now and confessing exactly what her need is and what her resources are. So, the examination she underwent. The The woman didn't have anything. Now, I want you to note what she said concerning this pot of oil in verse 2. The man of God said, "Now, I want you to tell me what you want me to do for you, and what are your resources?" I want you to make a note of this now, because he wanted her to think about her resources. What are your resources? Resources. I don't have any resources. Well, he said, "What do you have in the house?" "I don't have anything in the house." And I imagine this dear widow woman, in her desperation, in her need, had sold off one piece of furniture after another. Everything was gone. She said, "I don't have anything in the house save this pot of oil." I want us to think about that pot of oil, because it was a significant object. I must confess, years ago when I first really meditated upon this portion of Scripture, not just reading it through and passing over it lightly, but thinking about it, I have to confess that the first impression that I got was thinking of some big cauldron of oil, some large pot of oil, and that was not the case at all. This word that is rendered pot in our English translation is found here and nowhere else, as I understand. There are seven or eight words in the original which are translated pot, but the particular word here, osuk, is found only here, and it means to anoint. It signifies an oil flask. I want you to keep in mind that this woman's husband was a son of a prophet. Possibly he was in training, or maybe had completed his training. We really don't know. But he was one of the prophets. And she reminds Elisha, now you know he was a man of God. And as one who was engaged with the ministry of the prophets, part of that ministry was to anoint people and anoint things. So from the evidence here, this was not some big pot or even a small pot of oil, but rather it was an oil flask, and quite evidently it was used in the ministry of the Lord, ministry of the prophets, to anoint. So it was a significant object. Not only so, it was a sacred object. As I think about this story here, we could be hard in our thinking about this woman and maybe even criticize her in saying that, well, she should have thought more seriously about that oil flask. That represented the Lord, as it were, and the working of God in the lives of His people. It was a significant object. It was a sacred object that should have instilled in her thinking of God's presence and God's power. But it seems that it was a slighted object. What are your resources? What are my resources? I don't have any resources. All I have in the house is this pot of oil. Seems to be a slighted object. But that significant, sacred, slighted object became the saving object. Note the exhortation she obeyed in verses 3 through 5. As the man of God is dealing with her in her need, he tells her to get alone with her sons in the house. Provision of the room, the preclusion of all other activities and association, and then the pouring of the oil. Her response? She obeyed immediately. She obeyed implicitly, and she obeyed inclusively. Step by step, the sons go and borrow vessels. Not even a vessel in the house. The sons go borrow vessels for the oil that she was about to receive. And when they came with the vessels, then she was instructed to take that oil flask and start pouring. What a miracle. The oil continued, one vessel after another. We don't know how many vessels the sons had obtained from neighbors. Maybe there were many vessels all around. Must have been quite a few, because there was enough oil that she could sell it and pay the debt. Her sons would not go in servitude to the creditor. And there was enough for her and the sons to live on after that. So here is the endowment that she obtained and the encouragement that she received. Oil was given to meet a critical need. It was given to meet a constant need, live on the rest. And the oil was given to meet a collective need. Now, what is the focus of this story? I think you will agree with me, the focus is that oil flask, that pot of oil. That's the focus. This is what the man of God, Elisha, was impressing upon her. God is at work here. And this object that evidently is a slighted object has become the saving object. It's something which God used to meet her need, the son's needs, and they could live on the rest. All right, let's think of that story as we think of that backdrop. We were singing, and let me see if I can get the right stanza here. We were singing 119 in the Hymns of Worship and Remembrance. Now the Holy Ghost doth gather unto God thy people here. We as sons cry, Abba Father, his great love excluding fear. What a debt of love we owe thee. Love that we can ne'er express, since we through the Spirit know thee, Christ the Lord, our righteousness. And we were also singing, Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Fellow believer in Christ, do you have any thoughts about the debt that we owe to God? Thinking of this woman, there was a very critical need. She had some debts, and she couldn't pay until the man of God made her realize what her resource truly was. That pot of oil. Now, you're thinking ahead of me. I know. You're thinking ahead of me. And you know that oil speaks of the Holy Ghost. We think of Psalm 133, is it? You see, I'm slipping here now. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity is like that precious oil flowing from the head of the priest down his garments, all the way down to his feet. Well, we think of the priest of old being anointed with oil. We think of the prophets through the Old Testament economy using oil to anoint, as the husband of this widow woman evidently did. Oil speaks of the Holy Ghost. Now, we were singing about the debt of love that we owe. We were singing about how much we owe to God. How do we pay this debt? How do we pay all debts as believers? We can only do it in the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. I have said to you, and I don't mean to get so technical here tonight, but I have said to you that one of the study helps that I greatly appreciate is the Englishman's Greek New Testament. A brother among the assemblies years ago by the name of Wigram produced the Englishman's Greek New Testament. Now, why am I spending so much time telling you this? I know some of you are students. The Englishman's Greek New Testament. If you take a regular concordance and look up a word in the Greek New Testament, it'll just show you that one word, the reference of it. Or where that particular word, that is the translation of it into the English, where that particular word is found in the New Testament. Well, the Englishman's Greek New Testament goes a little further. When you look up the word debt, as I did, and in the Strong's Concordance, it's number 3784. See how easy I make it for you? In the Concordance, it's number 3784. Well, if you were to look up in the Englishman's Greek Concordance, that Strong's, and I'm thinking of the Strong's Concordance reference number, if you look up in the Englishman's Greek Concordance, number 3784, it's going to show you throughout the New Testament where that particular word is found, regardless of what English word is used in the translation. Am I making myself to be understood in saying that? So I have a page here. I put it in the copy machine last night. Number 3784. And this word, ophilo, it appears at least 36 times in the New Testament. Sometimes that word is rendered, pay me what thou owest. Debt. Debtor. On down the, ye ought to wash one another's feet. Ought, there's the word. It implies a debt. The Jews said, by our law, he ought to die. Here's an obligation here. Here's a debt. He ought to die. And on we could go, about 36 times. We are bound to thank God, said Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. We are bound to give thanks. There's the word. And on we could go. But I am thinking of three portions of Scripture in the New Testament. And I want us to turn there. The first one being Mark's Gospel chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. Now, there are any number of scriptures to which we could turn where this particular word owe or debt is used. It is not found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, but it's implied. The debt is implied. And here again, in trying to come up with some basic outline, and I look upon outlines as pegs upon which we can hang our thoughts. And so in trying to come up with an outline, I had great difficulty. I mean, I was thinking, okay, we have some debts as believers. We owe God all our love. We owe Christ our life. And we owe to the world our light. Now, that sounds very simple, and I realize that that really doesn't cover it all, because when I say we owe God all our love, we could turn to a number of scriptures that would say we're to love the brethren. Well, that's true, but it goes back to loving God, does it not? I mean, John says, how can you say you love God whom you do not see and hate your brother whom you do see? So here, in thinking of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, I put down, we owe God all our love. The Lord Jesus said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What a debt. What a debt of love we owe. How can we pay this debt? We can say we love God, but we have to prove it. God proved His love, but God proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we prove our love to God? Well, by the way, we do love one another. What a debt of love we owe. I've told you before, there have been times I have thought to myself, now, Lord, you command me to love the brethren. And there are some I don't particularly like. Do you ever think thoughts like that? I mean, you want to love the brethren, but there are some that just grate on you wrongly. You know, they irritate you to some extent. And I would say, Lord, how can I love the brethren? How can I love others if I don't like them? And God would say to us, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. And He commands us to do it. But we owe God all our love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What a debt of love we owe. And the question would come to us, well, what are your resources to meet such a need, to pay such a debt? And we might be inclined to say at first, well, Lord, it's not in me. Well, it's true, it's not in us, but as believers, God is in us. God is in us. Yes, that oil is used in Scripture as a picture, and I would even say as a type, I would have to be careful, but as a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And oftentimes, we underestimate the person of the Holy Spirit of God, do we not? Let us not have any wrong thinking about the Holy Spirit of God. We have pointed out that He is a person. Now, it is true that the word Spirit in the New Testament is pneuma. You've heard me and others say this. It's pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, like pneumatic, tools, tires, whatever. It has to do with wind or air. Pneuma. That's the word for Spirit. It's neuter in gender. It's neither masculine nor feminine. And this is the reason the translators sometimes use the word it in connection with the Spirit. We don't like it, but I suppose they were correct in doing so, since it is neuter in gender. But we know the Lord Jesus Christ used the masculine pronoun when he spoke about the Spirit. When he is come, he will not only be with you, he shall be in you. And we believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That is to say, he is the seal, and he dwells within us. What a debt of love we owe. How do we pay the debt? Well, what are our resources? Well, Lord, the only resource I have is this pot of oil. The only resource I have is the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And the slighted person becomes the saving person. It's only in and through his power and ministry that we can pay such a debt. We owe God all our love. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. No. Now, wait a minute. I know you're quoting it to yourself right now. No, wait till we read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here again, this particular word that is rendered debt or owe elsewhere is not found here, but it's implied. We have a debt. We owe the Lord Jesus Christ our life. He died for all, and we which live should not live for ourselves, but live for him who died for us and rose again. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Now here again, thinking of this difficulty and settling in on an outline, we are to live for one another. We can't see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We see him with the spiritual eye. He's real. We have the assurance of his abiding presence. But our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ is measured by the way we serve others. We owe Christ all our life. Let's go to that third scripture, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Come down, please, to verse 15. Paul said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And we are simply to reflect him. The Lord Jesus himself, when speaking about the Holy Spirit of God who would come, and not only, who would come in a new and different way, and not only be with believers, but shall indwell believers. The Lord Jesus went on to say that he shall take the things of mine and show them unto you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to magnify, in one way or another, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And Paul said we are to shine as lights in a dark world. I'm telling you, this old globe is spinning out of control, it seems. And I have said before, I believe we're on a downward, I'm speaking of our nation, I believe we're on a downward course as never before. Would to God that all of us would turn to the Lord, and I'm speaking as a nation now, that we'd all turn to God. We're spinning out of control. We are living in a dark and perverse, a crooked and perverse nation. But we're to shine as lights for our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a day when we're not even supposed to mention His name. But we're to shine as light. How can we pay such debts? We owe God all our love. We owe Christ our life. We owe the world our light. Paul said, I am debtor. There's your word. I am debtor. The early Christians were told, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses, and so on. So, what is our resource? What do we have to meet such needs? We have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And what we need to do is what we see illustrated in this background story. We need to get alone with God. And we need to know afresh the working of the Holy Spirit of God. That oil was being poured. There was action. We need to know the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. And God would say to us, now here is your resource, my very presence and my power in your life. You just be submissive to me and allow me to have my way with you day by day. Would to God it would be so. This is the only way that we can pay such a debt. What a debt, a love we owe thee. Praise the Savior, ye who know him. Who can tell how much we owe him? Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. I pray it will be so for his name's sake. Brother Pankuk, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?